Radio Broadcast, a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in the book of Psalms, and we're in Psalm 15. We trust you'll have your Bible open and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word. We're in Psalm 15. I'm going to reference for you a passage in Proverbs. As we do a run-in into this passage, the Bible says in Proverbs 4, "Hear ye, children, the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine. Forsake ye not my law. Let thine heart retain my words. Keep my commandments and live." The book of Proverbs is largely accumulations of the sayings of Solomon. And much of what he has to say in that book are admonitions to his sons and his children. And this morning I want to talk to you on the topic of teaching our kids. You may remember that song some years ago, "Teach Your Children Well." Well, the world's not doing so well with critical race theory and all of the nonsense that has to do with sexualizing our children at a very early age. This is a crazy, crazy day, and it is falling more and more to you and me to be those who are taking seriously what is going on around us. It is a stewardship that the Lord Himself has given unto us. And I have a passage of Scripture as well as a lead-in. It's in the book of Isaiah, chapter 57 and verse 1. It is there that the Bible says, "The righteous perisheth, and no man layeth it to heart. And merciful men are taken away, none considering that the righteous is taken away from the evil that is to come." Isn't that a powerful passage? We're looking in a day where the righteous are taken from the earth, where they're put in jail, where they're vilified, where they're demonized, where they are hated on in the public square. And it's not just America, it's all over the world. There is a leanness to those who are God's children. Last couple of weeks, I've been pondering the statistic the Barna Group came out with in recent days. It just keeps coming back to me because it was such a profound thing to discover. As he did his Gallup poll type polling of people in America, he found that only 6% of Americans have a biblical worldview. For years, we've been told that America would be polled and about 90% would identify as Christian. And you always heard that and thought, no way. It can't be. What? 90%? Because you knew something was fishy here. This just didn't add up. So he must have gotten real specific in his questions. Because a biblical worldview comes from knowing the Bible. And 6% sounds about right to me, because I know that not many people know their Bibles intimately enough to navigate these strange and unprecedented times. So with those verses in mind, I'm directing your attention to Psalm 15. This is a short psalm, but it is so packed full. You might not think so. It reads quickly. Five verses. It is not very much at all. Five verses. But it's a psalm of David. You have to understand, David had a really deep and abiding relationship with the Lord. That relationship got messed up for a season, didn't it? It got messed up badly. In fact, it got messed up badly for that season initially, but also there was a fallout from his apostatizing from the Lord. He talked about in his experience with Bathsheba about how when he remained silent that his vitality dried up, that God's hand was heavy upon him. And I think it's very much necessary to remind ourselves, God could have crushed him, but his hand was simply heavy upon him. And if you've been walking with the Lord for any amount of time, you know what that feels like personally, no doubt. God is a good and gracious Father. He knows exactly how to get the attention of his children. He knows what buttons to push, what pressures to bring to bear on his children. Today, when we're looking at this chapter, the Bible says a psalm of David in verse 1, Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? Now, those words just in that verse alone really are a little bit foreign to us. We're busy. We have a lot going on all the time. In fact, many times our minds are not where we are because we can be somewhere 20, 30 miles away in 15 minutes or so. We are in a world where everything is the next thing. It's hard to dwell in the moment. It is understood by many that this is a Psalm of David that was written probably around the times when he was running out of Jerusalem because Absalom had staged a coup and there was no time to make any preparations. And being out in the midst of some area where he could be secreted away from his son's wrath and his son's intentions, that he was perhaps thinking about how much he looked forward to getting back to the tabernacle. You see, David didn't have a temple. He was going to build one, but God said, you were a bloody man. We're going to make your son a man of peace, and he's going to build that temple for me. It was good you thought of it, but you're going to have to stand down on that front. And what I'm suggesting to you is as we look at this, this is from a longing of the heart. And when I'm talking to us this morning, it's in a context of Father's Day. It's in a context of us wanting to be mimics of God, wanting to have a heart that God himself could smile on. And as David is out in the midst of some wilderness area somewhere, looking at the stars, reminding himself of his childhood, because in his childhood, he would sing much as a shepherd boy and enjoy the Lord. He would be the one who could play with his hand before Saul because he would calm Saul's demonic oppression at times. And so you're looking at a man who is going back to his childhood, one who knew what it was to worship the Lord Jesus in a very real and personal way, even in those early shadowy days. And so as he's out there, the first thing he's thinking of is, I can't wait. I can't wait to get back to the tabernacle. Who shall abide in thy tabernacle? What an interesting concept to abide in the tabernacle. See, David saw beyond the veil, if you will. He knew that this was emblematic of those realities in the heavenly places. You know that now even more so because the New Testament brings it very clear to us, especially in books like the book of Hebrews, that there was a pattern there of the things in the heavens. Of course, Moses was told that that was what he was doing as well, building something that was a pattern for the things in the heavens. Now, listen, he's telling us in his heart of hearts that he would long to be there. He would long to see it again. He would long to be in its presence. If you would pick up the narrative in Psalm 84, these are some words of psalmist, whether David or no, we're not sure. But it says, how amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. My soul longeth, yea, even faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth for the living God. Yea, the sparrow hath found an house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young, even thine altars. O Lord of hosts, my King and my God, blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will be still praising thee. Now those are words of longing for the tabernacle. And I remember years ago one commentator pointed out that it was not just beautiful for what it suggested in its shadowy substance, but also in the reality that believers who really went there would sometimes go in crestfallen and sad because their hearts were burdened. They would go in with their sin and their sacrifice. But when they would leave, they would go out glad because their sacrifice was accepted. Now, I want you to know, in a day like we're living in, the world's coming apart out there. They have no respect for God. They have no respect for the holy things. You and I have been living in Babylon, if you will, in our own lives. We've been comfortable here. When the call comes to arise and return to the promised land, many will not go. That's what we find in the histories, isn't it? Many wouldn't go. In fact, they cataloged those that did go because they were countable rather than a multitude that could not be numbered. Man, they just counted them. And there they were, and many stayed in Babylon because it was so comfortable. And this is why the book of Ephesians talks about, awake you who sleep and arise from the dead. That's believers in the graveyard, for crying out loud. They're not dead, they're asleep in the graveyard because it's so comfortable. And what's happening in our day is we're finding that 60% of the churches that shut down during the past year will never reopen again. And the reason is because the hoary heads are the ones that go to church, and many of them are terrified. The other reason is many of them aren't churches anyway, because they just had church on the front door, but they really didn't have any fire in the pulpit. They didn't have any spirit in the heart. There was perhaps something a little bit more insidious like that. But 60% is a huge win for the devil. If he could take out 60% of his enemies, he would be very happy with that, I'm sure. But my problem is that I'm seeing that the church is not something we long for. My problem is that it's not something we wish to abide in. Not the church per se. It's not about the building, and it's not about even the service. It's about God's people. It's about seeing people in the Lord and saying, these are the excellent ones. In these are all my delight, the psalmist says. Listen, you and I are living in a day where the church has fallen on hard times. We're living in a day where service to God is not being seen in our shoe leather from day to day. And I want you to know that I will show up. I will be here. If five people show up, I'm here. Wednesdays, I'm here. It breaks my heart when not many come. But I'm telling you, I love the Word of God. And when I prepare it and I bring it, I'll bring it and be happy that I could let it go through me, because it's just like letting the water run through rusty pipes. After a while, you get some good flow going on and all the loose stuff breaks off, and I'm okay with that. Thank you for letting me minister. But if you don't show up, you have to ask yourself why. Yes, you can't. Got to work. I get it. I'm not here to shame. I'm here to share. The Word of God says He longed to be there. There's something missing if we don't have a desire to glad hand the people of God and love on them and see them and take refreshment from their smile and encouragement from their presence. These are the things we bring. The psalmist said, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? And when you read that, you have to understand this tabernacle was something of a mystery. And yet David, being a prophet, no doubt saw through many of the motions that were therein revealed. One of the things that you might not have put together in the past in your mind's eye is the fact that the priests were wearing the same robes as the tabernacle itself was made of. So in essence, they were many tabernacles. They were many tabernacles in shadowy sense. Listen to me. They were many tabernacles in shadow, but we are actual tabernacles in reality now. It was basically a shadow foreshadowing the fact that you and I would be made the temple of God. What? Know ye not that you are the temple of God and the Holy Spirit lives in you? That you are not your own? You're bought with a price? Therefore, we are to what? Glorify God in our bodies? And you know, we don't see it that way. But wait a minute. Somebody put the smelling salts up underneath our nose, which basically these days is ammonia snapping us too, because what's going on in our world is Jesus is coming. The globalists, they're moving and they're just fighting about who's going to be in control of the nonsense. You and I, we need to start saying, wake up.